Non-citizens voting in U.S. elections. How big of a problem is it? The answer depends on who you ask. The two major political parties have two different conclusions, and news organizations with a political bias are covering the issue in very different ways. Back in the news this week is election security, as House Speaker Mike Johnson, alongside GOP lawmakers, unveiled a new proposal called the SAVE Act. It would require a person to provide proof of U.S. citizenship in order to register to vote in federal elections. Republicans argue it's to make elections more secure and to put in safeguards to ensure non-citizens can't vote. Those opposing the bill argue it's a non-issue because there's already laws in place that say it's illegal. And Democrats contend it's a bill to try and further fuel election fraud claims that were rampant after the last presidential election. The two sides stand in stark contrast, and that's made clear in recent headlines about non-citizen voting. News outlets with a left-leaning bias tie the SAVE Act to Trump 2020 and portray the proposal as unnecessary. An Associated Press headline reads, "Non-citizen voting isn't an issue in federal elections, regardless of conspiracy theories." Reuters says, "U.S. Republicans target non-citizen voting as Trump keeps up false voter fraud claims." And the Washington Post, "The 2020 was stolen crew is here to stoke fears of non-citizen voters." News outlets with a right-leaning bias tie the SAVE Act to illegal immigration, bolstering the numbers of non-citizens, and portray non-citizen voting as a prevalent issue. The Federalist headline reads, "Republicans introduce SAVE Act to block illegal aliens from voting in U.S. elections." The Washington Times, "Non-citizens caught voting in U.S. elections, here's how they did it." And Fox News, "House GOP eyes election safeguards to block dangerously high number of illegal immigrants from voting."
All right, so that's from Straight Arrow News. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. So what is the truth here? And should we be concerned? Well, of course, I'm not a straight news anchor. I have an opinion. And I'll tell you that, Houston, we have a problem. President Trump is leading in, I think, most of the swing states, with almost all of them. But the Democrats, the Biden team, they don't seem that worried. Trump will have a rally. He had a rally in New Jersey of like 100,000 people. Joe Biden had a rally and maybe 20, 30 people came. And it's like we've seen this before, haven't we? They seem pretty calm to me. They don't seem too worried. They're, you know, withdrawing support for the fight for Israel. They're criticizing them publicly. They're trying to get Bibi Netanyahu out. They are facilitating millions of illegal immigrants over the border. Crime has increased. Our infrastructure is creaking under the weight of it. Yes, I have an opinion, but I want you to know what the real facts are here. So that's what we're going to be talking about today on Sandy Rios 24/7. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. You can email us at sandy@afr.net. You can go to any social media outlet, your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Truth Social, wherever you'd like to go, what you're used to using, and also podcasting. If you're not accustomed to podcasting, you can go to my website, which is sandyrios.com, and you can very easily listen. But also afr.net, you go to the podcast section on that website, and you'll find Sandy Rios 24/7, also pretty easy. But if you like podcast platforms, and I would encourage you to try podcasting. It's something that you can listen to at your leisure. If you're not sure of that, you can binge listen. You know, radio comes and goes, and you can't always listen to it. You have to listen to it live. Well, podcasts, you can listen to them anytime. So you can listen, though, on any podcast platform, on Amazon or Apple or Spotify. So that's the way it goes. One of the things that fuels, the engine that fuels Sandy Rios 24/7 is the support of Preborn. And in return, we fuel the support of Preborn from you. We do that for a reason, because they are having tremendous success in actually saving babies' lives when mothers are confused about their pregnancies. and don't think maybe they should carry it to term for all the pressures or problems that they're having. They also minister to the women, you know, trying to tell them there's a better way. That's what I always say. There's a better way. God has a better way. Don't do that. It may seem difficult, but this will be a blessing. And there are other ways to handle this besides terminating the baby's life. That's what it's all about. It's all based on or centered around women actually seeing their babies in their wombs through ultrasound. So if you would like to help do that, okay, help us help them. And preborn.com/Sandy is the place that you go, preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, sit back and take out a pen and paper because we got some numbers for you today about the number of illegal immigrants in this country, the number that are coming across, and why we are so concerned about the upcoming election on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
The truth of our immigration debate, period. Here are the numbers you need to understand. Yale University released a study last week by three researchers, all of them liberal, I believe, who concluded that the actual number of illegal aliens in this country is not 11 million, it's north of 22 million. 22 million. Fact one. Fact two. The Democratic Party is now, as a matter of policy, calling for the legalization of all illegals in this country. Citizenship, voting rights. 22 million new voters. Fact three. The overwhelming majority of first-time immigrant voters vote Democrat. Fact four. The largest margin in American presidential history was 17 million votes, 1984 election between Mondale and Reagan.
And Reagan, yeah.
17 million. You would add to our voter rolls 22 million, at least, permanent electoral majority in perpetuity. That's what this is about. It's not about making the country better, serving our labor needs, helping the population. It's about putting Democrats in power forever.
That was the voice in a distance a bit of Tucker Carlson, and I just wanted you to hear that. He's saying that 22 million people are here illegally right now. That's the real number. You know, they keep reporting it's 10, 11 million, 12 million. They've been saying that. I think, honestly, for about 20 years I've been hearing that number. But my next guest would know better than I know and better than Tucker knows. Chris Chmielinski, I always have a challenge with Chris's name. I should have been born Polish here. Chris Chmielinski is with the Immigration Accountability Project. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Wait, you know what? I should clear that. Are you Czechoslovakian or are you Polish? What is Chmielinski?
It's Polish. It's Polish, yes.
Okay.
It's, yeah, you know, just one grandparent was Polish, but it was the one that I got my last name from.
I understand that. Well, Chris, it's great to have you. I want to say the Immigration Accountability Project is pretty new. It's a powerhouse in Washington, D.C., founded by my good friend Rosemary Jenks. Chris has been working with her for years, and I want to just give you an idea of their goals. They want to secure the border. They want to end birthright citizenship. They want to end chain migration, eliminate the visa lottery, implement entry-exit systems, and select legal immigrants based on what's in the actual interests of Americans. I can tell you personally that they are the ones who are the true north and swinging away in Washington, D.C. So, Chris, my first question to you, is Tucker exaggerating those numbers?
You know, it's hard to put an estimate on the actual illegal alien population, but what we can determine for certainty, because the census asks about it, is we know how many non-citizens are currently living in the United States. And that number is well in excess of 22 million. It's actually at least 27 million and as much as 29 million. And we know that because the census asks individuals on their census, on their surveys, not just the one that they do every 10 years, but also the one that they do annually. and their numbers are current as of 2022. We know how many people are foreign-born living in the United States and how many people have naturalized. So obviously the difference is the number of foreign-born individuals living in the United States who have yet to become U.S. citizens. Again, in 2022, that number was 22 million. Now we know that the border has been wide open since 2022. So you add in the number of individuals that have been released into the interior of the United States by the Biden administration. You include the number of gotaways that the Border Patrol has reported. These are the people that have crossed the border illegally but escaped, evaded Border Patrol apprehension, and they have disappeared into the interior of the United States. And then the individuals from countries across Central America and the Caribbean and other areas of the world that have just been flown into the United States and offered parole by the Biden administration. You add up all those numbers, and again, we're talking about a group somewhere around 27 to 30 million people who are living in the United States, who were not born in the U.S. and have not naturalized, which means they are not U.S. citizens and therefore cannot register to vote in federal elections. And that's the key thing that we're talking about here, is how many of those individuals are not supposed to vote in federal, or not supposed to register for federal elections, but still are.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because our opponents, because you know I'm on the same page as you guys are on this, very concerned about it. Our opponents would say, now look, it's against the law for illegal immigrants to vote in federal elections. Some local places allow it, and that's the local decision. But it's against the law. It's a felony that people will be charged if they vote in federal elections. You guys are just crazy, overwrought, right-wing. Okay, so Chris, why are we worried about this? What are we worried about? It's illegal.
Right. Well, I would say to them, too, it's also illegal to speed down the highway. How many people who are listening to your show have driven down the interstate and never seen somebody exceeding the speed limit on the interstate? Yes, it's illegal. Does it happen, though? Yeah, it still happens. Why? Because it's hard to catch every single person. And unfortunately, here in the United States, we actually don't have a mechanism that allows states to actually verify whether or not individuals who register to vote, particularly using the federal registration forms, which are most commonly used when you get a driver's license. And let me just make this point. All 50 states and the District of Columbia offer driver's licenses to non-citizens. Non-citizens can get driver's licenses everywhere. Now, illegal aliens can only get driver's licenses in certain states. But if you're here on a guest worker visa, if you're here on a student visa, you can get a driver's license in the state that you're currently residing in. Every single state plus the District of Columbia allows that to happen. So if you're registering by using the federal voter registration form, which is provided to you when you get a driver's license, for example, and there are other ways that you can have access to the federal registration form, simply just going to vote.gov, you can get access to the federal registration form and complete it and submit it. The states are receiving these forms, and there's no national system in place for the states to actually verify whether or not these individuals are U.S. citizens.
Okay.
And that's why we've now... Go ahead.
No, I know. I want to come back to that, because I want to drill down on motor voter in a second. But I want to go back to the border for a second, because I know not all the illegal immigrants that you have just cited at the 30 million, maybe, have come illegally across the border, but many of them have. And they're certainly coming across the border now. So, Chris, my understanding is that these, our government, the Biden administration, are handing them Social Security numbers, giving them, signing them up for Medicaid, giving them all, you know, already identity when they cross the border, so that it makes it, does it not, correct me if I'm wrong, really simple to go into the DMV, to go into a local DMV and get
DMV,
a license.
Right.
Yeah. So is that true?
Well, yeah. We know that the Biden administration, they're granting parole to a number of people who are millions of people who are crossing the border illegally, and foreign nationals who they're just simply flying into the United States. Also, they're giving these individuals parole. With parole comes a work permit. Once you get your work permit, yes, you can get a Social Security number. Once you get a Social Security number, that opens you up to a number of different things that you can get, including a driver's license. But President Biden also, in his first couple months in office, in March of 2021, signed Executive Order 14019, and that instructed all federal agencies to promote voter registration and do everything in their power to distribute voter registration forms. That includes the Department of Homeland Security, which through USCIS, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, ICE, Immigration Customs and Enforcement, Customs and Border Protection, all of these agencies which fall under DHS, are required under this executive order to distribute voter registration forms. So it's entirely possible that as these individuals are coming into the country and as they're going through the parole process and receiving parole and with it Social Security numbers, these individuals are also being given voter registration forms as instructed by Executive Order 14019. So it's possible that not only are they getting them from the federal government, but they're getting them from the NGOs that are in all likelihood handling the resettlement of these individuals into the interior of the United States.
It is so corrupt.
Certainly getting forms to register.
Yeah, so the point, I think, needs to be, the big point needs to be made that, yes, it's true that we have laws guarding illegal immigrants voting in federal elections, and some might slip through. But what we have now is an intentional move on the part of an administration to bring over as many million as they can and actually expedite, find a way to get them, to push them toward voting. I remember I was watching those two brothers that took those trails coming up from through New Mexico and through Central America, those dangerous trails, along with the illegal immigrants traveling to the Mexican border. And I remember them saying that along the way, people were actually talking about they were going to vote for Joe Biden. He had it on tape.
Right.
Yeah, so this is intentional, and that's why we have to come to grips with this. You know, I'll tell you, Chris, something you wouldn't know. I'm from Chicago. I was on radio. I did a drive time in Chicago in the 90s, late 90s. And at that time, Governor Ryan, Governor Ryan, was actually... he actually went to prison, as most of our governors have. He went to prison because he was selling driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. And that money was going into his campaign coffers. At that time, but it was already an issue. And then along comes Barack Obama as an Illinois senator who introduces motor voter. So, and that was a way where people could, as you said, getting their driver's licenses, they could register to vote. And as I recall, Chris, you don't have to, you know, prove your citizenship, as you've said, at these registration outlets, the DMVs. Do you really think, do we have proof that illegal immigrants are going into there and getting voter registration and actually are registering to vote? Do we know anything about that? It's just a speculation.
It's speculation, but we also have anecdotal data. We have people who are in the country illegally saying that they have registered to vote, and some even admitting that they have voted here in the United States. The Washington Times actually just wrote a story a couple of weeks ago that reported on an individual who was in the country illegally, but had been granted parole, which meant protection from deportation. But their status is they're in sort of this quasi status. They're not here legally, but they're also not technically here illegally since they've been offered parole. They registered and voted in the state of North Carolina in the federal elections, in the 2016 federal election. So we do have some of these anecdotal stories. There's also the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project has done great work and has documented almost 1,500 proven cases of voter fraud, and a number of those cases involve illegal aliens or non-citizens.
Yeah. All right, so that brings us to kind of solutions, because
just hard to find out.
Chris, your phone's cutting out just a little bit. So I didn't mean to step over on you. Let me just say, we have some good solutions, though. At least, what? A fight back. Last week, there was a press conference, the announcement of the beginning of an organization called Only Citizens Vote Coalition. Only Citizens Vote Coalition. It's Only Citizens Vote Coalition. www.thegoodlife.com. And I want to just read the plan for this group, and then we'll talk about it with Chris. Across our great nation, election administrators, judges, lawyers, and citizen volunteers are preparing for the 2024 election. But radical progressive politicians have been working for years to eliminate laws requiring proof of U.S. citizenship for voter registration in U.S. elections. Without such laws, millions of illegal aliens and non-citizens may be able to vote in November. Every non-citizen who votes cancels the vote of an American citizen. All right, so tell us about this coalition and what you're trying to do. And by the way, American Family Association is part of this coalition as well. Chris, tell us what you're trying to do.
So the Only Citizens Vote Coalition, yes, it launched last week. Our website is onlycitizensvotecoalition.com. And the Immigration Accountability Project is one of 70 founding members of this organization. And we're trying to raise awareness nationally that this problem exists, that non-citizens can register to vote. It is illegal for them to register to vote, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. They can certainly lie on their registration forms and claim that they are U.S. citizens. But the bigger problem is that, as I mentioned earlier, the states don't have a way to verify whether or not individuals on their voter list, especially ones that come through the federal registration form, are actually U.S. citizens. So legislation has been introduced. It's the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, the SAVE Act, introduced by Congressman Chip Roy of Texas and the House of Representatives and Senator Mike Lee of Utah in the Senate. And this legislation would create a system that would allow the states and require the states to verify that every single person who registers to vote within their state is a U.S. citizen. So it would create a mechanism allowing them to verify with the federal government that these individuals are actually U.S. citizens. And if they're not U.S. citizens, then they just remove them from their voter rolls. And that would help eliminate the issue. So you have trust in filling out the form, but then you're verifying. So it's not just trusting that people will do the right thing. It's also verifying after the fact.
All right. So Chip Roy is sponsoring this in the House. It's called the SAVE Act. Also, Speaker Mike Johnson was their oppressor, correct? And supporting this act as well.
He was. He was. And yes, we've had some issues with Speaker Johnson over the last couple of weeks, especially by bringing the Ukraine funding bill to the border without securing America's borders first. But, you know, when the Speaker wants to lend his support to passing this legislation, you have to welcome it. So he was the one who actually launched this effort. And then, of course, members of the Only Vote, Only Citizens Vote Coalition were also on stage there to along with Congressman Chip Roy and Senator Mike Lee to discuss this very, not only this issue, this concern that we have, but also to talk about the SAVE Act that's been introduced by these two men.
Yeah, so let me repeat. Senator Mike Lee is introducing it in the Senate, and heaven knows we know that. I mean, so the object here, Chris, on this is a legislative solution, we hope, and we hope it passes. But oh my goodness, you know, have you guys speculated about what's going to happen in the Senate? Because there are, I think it will pass in the House. Personally, I don't know how you feel about that. Do you agree that you think it'll pass in the House?
I think it'll pass in the House. I think Republicans at a minimum are going to remain united on this. So there are a few Democrats, both in swing states, swing districts, and some other areas that are concerned about this issue. But most importantly, Tea Party Patriots has done extensive polling on this, and they have found overwhelming majorities of Americans, not just conservatives and moderates, but also liberal voters are showing concern at majority plus above majority levels that they believe that only U.S. citizens should be voting in federal elections. So there is some concern about this, but you also see, you know, the political machine on the opposite side of the aisle is pushing really hard. You're seeing all these claims, oh, it's already illegal for individuals to vote. And again, the mechanism that's currently in place is to just trust that non-citizens won't register to vote. What the SAVE Act would do is to actually verify that non-citizens are not registering to vote here in the United States and require proof of U.S. citizenship to vote.
All right, so so this is what people can do that are listening. They need to call their congressman and tell them to vote yes on the SAVE Act. And I bet most of you listening to me feel very motivated to do that. Now, in the Senate, Mike Lee is, again, the sponsor. He's been doing so many great things. Mike has just become such a champion over there. But honestly, what's that? You hold your finger up, Chris. You know about the Senate. It's like we can't depend on them to do anything. Do you think that the Republicans, even Mitch McConnell, will actually push this?
Yeah, that's definitely up for debate whether or not Mitch McConnell is going to push this, especially considering he's lame duck as minority leader. And we know that Chuck Schumer isn't going to bring the bill to the floor unless Republicans demand it. We'd like to see it at least. If it doesn't come to the floor, we hope that some senator would at least offer it as an amendment to another piece of legislation so there's at least a floor vote on it, so there's a record of who supports it, who doesn't support it. But another avenue would be for Mike Johnson to attach it to some sort of must-pass legislation. Now, if we waited all the way until the House passes, in all likelihood, a continuing resolution to extend federal funding beyond the current expiration date of September 30th, that's going to be way too late for the November elections. I mean, you're going to have states that are probably already allowing individuals to vote for the November general elections by then. So it has to happen before then. So if Mike Johnson can find some piece of must-pass legislation that he can maybe attach this to and then send it over to the Senate, then the Senate's going to have to decide whether or not they allow it to happen or whether or not they strip it out of the legislation. And if they strip it out of the legislation, that's pretty telling.
Yeah, that's pretty telling, all right. And I have to say, we're on the precipice here because Donald Trump, I'm completely behind him now, and I don't see how people cannot be. We are in great danger, no matter what you think. And he's moved ahead in the swing states, but I'm telling you, sweet swing states, but I'm telling you, if we can't push this back, the illegal immigrant vote will swallow us, and we will never, ever be able to pull this back. And so this is just the combination of Immigration Accountability Project, the Only Citizens Vote Coalition. By the way, you can join that, onlycitizenvotecoalition.com, and that'll give you lots of information on the bill, the SAVE Act, and all of that, and how to respond, and, of course, get in touch with your senators and your congressmen. Once it's been introduced, you want them to vote for the SAVE Act. It's complicated, but we're fighting. People are fighting. And certainly Chris Chmielinski and my good friend Rosemary are working really hard, along with Cleta Mitchell and Ken Cuccinelli. So many. It's just a stellar lineup. People that are on the front lines doing everything they can to pull this thing back. And I encourage each and every one of you to do your part if you are getting ready. We're all getting ready for an election. Sign up to work at the polls, and not a volunteer. Get a paid position, because then you'll have something to say about what happens there. And you could have a big impact on Election Day. So step up to the plate while we still can. I thank God every day when I get up that we're still free. So we're still free today, but we may not be in a few months, okay? So it's time to do something. All right, Chris Chmielinski, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, my pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
One new thing, not so good, that's happening right now is abortion telehealth. It's been increasingly available, and I'm sure that's about the RU486 French abortion pill. You know, teenagers are going on telehealth, are going online and getting prescriptions for these pills. And I told you that one pill kills the baby, the second pill expels. And I don't care if you're a teenager or a grown woman, that's traumatic. You want to deliver a baby in your bathroom yourself with all the feelings of that and then trying to do something about what's come out of you? The baby, by the way. Really? You know, preborn, I was talking with the founder last week, and he said that sometimes girls will come into preborn clinics carrying the babies that they deliver at home. I mean, it's just, if that isn't heartbreaking to you, I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking to me. And that's why we have to do something about this. And preborn has come up with such an incredible and effective way of stopping this. If those women and those girls who are going on telehealth only knew and could only see the baby within them, they would make a different decision. Stats show that over half of them do. So we need to help preborn get a hold of those ultrasound machines. That's one way you can help. That would take a bigger donation. And we can also provide, though, one ultrasound at a time. It's only $28. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
Santa Ana could become the latest city in the country to allow non-citizens to vote at the ballot box. Non-citizens are prohibited from voting in federal elections.
But municipalities in Maryland, Vermont, and here in California have allowed non-citizens to vote in local elections. Carlos Saucedo's in Santa Ana tonight, where the city council took up the issue. Carlos.
Good evening. As you know, Santa Ana has been a sanctuary city for undocumented immigrants since 2016. But a new proposal could take things to the next level by allowing non-citizens the right to vote in local elections. And as you can imagine, this has been met with mixed reactions.
Mayor, if I may just ask for the respect of our audience.
During public comment at Tuesday night's Santa Ana City Council meeting, impassioned remarks took center stage over a controversial item, one that could potentially allow non-citizens the right to vote in city council and mayoral election.
Non-citizens already vote. It's called a crime. It's called fraud. It's called unconstitutional.
I love when we have extreme right-wing folks show up to tell you what you shouldn't do, because throughout history, we have always had those folks denying the right to vote to many people of color.
Santa Ana City Council member Jonathan Ryan Hernandez and one of his colleagues have initiated a discussion about whether non-citizens, including those in the country illegally, should be allowed to vote in local city elections.
So I do believe that non-citizen voting is a step in the right direction.
In a city where nearly one quarter of its residents are non-U.S. citizens and who often work and pay taxes, Hernandez argues they should.
Taxation without representation is a value that America holds dear. And so we want to advance those values. I do believe that non-citizen voting in local elections is about increasing civic engagement.
But of course, not everyone shares that same viewpoint.
As a naturalized citizen, I had to wait 5 years. And when I took that oath for this country, I swore an allegiance for this country to the Constitution and to the laws. And I believe that the citizens should be the ones who have the right and the privilege to vote.
Santa Ana isn't the first city to look at expanding voting rights to non-citizens. In San Francisco, a judge struck down a law allowing non-citizens to vote in school board elections after opponents argued it diluted their vote and violated the California state constitution. But an appeals court recently reversed that decision, prompting Hernandez to move forward with his proposal.
All right, Sandy Rios, back with you. That is KTLA in Santa Ana. Now, here's the thing. We've been talking about voting in federal elections, and we'll continue that. But this is an issue of local. Imagine if you are trying to elect the city council, the school board in your town, all the various officers, the treasurer of something, and you have a lot of illegal immigrants who have no clue. They hardly speak the language, and suddenly they're instructed to vote in a certain way. Is that what you want for your local elections? Because that's where we're headed. Bruce, my sweetheart, who former FBI agent, who actually worked out of Santa Ana, as I recall, didn't you, honey?
I did. In the 1990s, I was assigned to the Santa Ana Resident Agency of the Los Angeles office, and I was there for 4 years.
What did you do?
I was working primarily bank robberies and kidnappings at that time, violent crimes. And we worked with a lot with the local jurisdictions there. So I had a lot of interaction with people who lived in the actual city and worked in the city of Santa Ana.
All right, so they made a lot of statements there, and I have a lot of comments about that. But what's going on? What are your thoughts about what we heard in that city council meeting?
Well, you know, as usual, there's a misdirection being played. If you listen to that council member when he was talking about paying taxes in the economy and not being, and that they should have representation, well, I can tell you, there is a huge underground economy in the Santa Ana region. And what I mean by that is people paying cash for services. If they get their lawn cut by someone, it's a cash payment. There's no taxes paid on that. If they get their house painted, it's a cash payment. There's no taxes paid on that. In fact, the irony is that so many of these people that do that kind of work, they not only are not paying taxes, but then they're turning around and filing for unemployment and for benefits from the state of California. I cannot tell you how many times I would be standing in Costco in line, and a person in front of me would have one of these pallets, carts, with, say, 30 cases of water, 20 cases of pop, things like that. And their bill would be rung up as, say, be $250. They would pull out cash to pay for that. Obviously, they're running a business. They're reselling these things. They're not using all this themselves. So what would really be ironic is they're paying cash. No business pays in cash. But what would really be the kicker is there was a red, white, and blue benefits card for the state of California that was very noticeable. And I would see that in people's wallets all the time that were paying cash. So they're not only paying cash as a business because they're not going to pay taxes, but then they're going to turn around and claim unemployment benefits from the state of California.
See, the other, yes. Well, that's nice to hear, Bruce. The other thing is no taxation without representation. When you're illegal here, you don't have representation. You don't vote. You don't elect. They don't represent you. They are, our representatives are supposed to represent American citizens. So this is, and then the second thing you said was, we know how this is. This has been going on a long time in America. They've been denying non-citizens to vote. They've been denying the vote to people of color.
Yeah.
So it's just about people of color. It's racist that we don't let the millions that are coming across the border vote in our elections.
You know, even back in the 90s, La Raza was very prevalent in Santa Ana. They were front and center in that town. And La Raza was all about bringing people to the United States illegally because they are on that trajectory that the United States stole California from Mexico, and that is Mexico's right to reclaim California. And the way they were going to do that was basically to overwhelm California with people from Mexico. And don't think that voting isn't the key, because then they want to get these people to be able to vote. And guess what? Though it may sound a little bit conspiracy theory, at some point you might see a proposal to be voted on to remove California from the United States and send it back into Mexico.
Yeah, no, that's actually stated purpose for, and it includes Texas too.
Yes.
So no, that, and you know, we had that Gabriel on a couple of weeks ago, the former member of Antifa, and he went to California schools, had come across from Mexico, loved the country, goes to these schools, and then ends up coming out sounding like La Raza, wanting to take back all of the, you know, the territory, hating this country. So But we're trying to counter that, and that's what our conversation is about today, or has been about today.
I thought the ultimate irony, Sandy, in what Chris said is, think about what the Biden administration executive order, this 14019, instructing, not suggesting, but instructing all federal agencies. And I don't know how this has anything to do with, say,
Treasury,
know, health, yeah, like
health and
but,
human
services. But somehow you have to, as an employee of them, encourage people to register to vote. Now think of the irony. The Border Patrol is down on the Mexican border trying to round up people coming here illegally. And as part of the process, once they get them in custody, they have to provide forms to these people to register to vote.
Yeah, well,
think of that.
This is a happy moment. I know, it's just twisted. And that's why we have to have a change in our administration. I'll just say it that way. We've got trouble. We know we have trouble. So we still, again, there are things that we can still do. That's why I'm recommending that you go to onlycitizenvotecoalition.com. That's onlycitizenvotecoalition.com and be a part of it and learn what you can do to help. Honey, thank you for joining me today.
Okay. Yes, it was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, and thank you all for listening. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can send an email to sandy@afr.net. We love those. We'll read them, and we'll use as many as we can on the air. You can go to sandyrios.com and listen to the show very easily. You can go to our home mothership, afr.net, and listen, or any podcast platform. But for today, I really do want to thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.